biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we will chat it up with Carrington Harrison, who does a great job covering the Kansas City Chiefs, and he hosts a afternoon drive sports radio program on 610 Sports in Kansas City. So there's this clip going around with PFT commenter from Barstool Sports. And he is, I guess he does a podcast with Arian Foster. He had Arian Foster on a podcast. And there's this viral clip of Arian Foster saying that every year the NFL players, they get this script and the NFL is scripted. Now, clearly, you hear the clip that has done 9.2 million views and you go, all right, this is marinated in sarcasm. And I think like 95% of the people understand that this is being said in a joking context, but then there are some people that don't understand that. So there has been a bunch of viral moments from this of people saying, like, imagine this player when he got the script, and imagine that player when he was told to do this. Like, my line today was, did the NFL give Jamarcus Russell a blank script to see if he would even read it? Because Jamarcus Russell at one point got the film and they wanted him to watch the film to try to do some studying, and they gave him a blank copy and he never watched it. He said, oh yeah, I did the homework, I did the assignment. They're like, Jamarcus, there was nothing on it. There was nothing on the tape. We just wanted to see if you were going to put it on and actually watch it and then realize and ask a question. Oh, is it like, why is there no actual tape here, an actual film of whatever was going on they wanted him to study? So we'll play this audio, and then we'll have a little fun with this. Once again, this is PFT commenter from Barstool Sports along with Arian Foster.
Arian was telling me about how the NFL is rigged and how every year he used to get a script.
Yeah.
Day one of training camp that would get dropped off at his locker. And you would have to, you know, it was like week one, you'll do this. Week two, you're going to have a hamstring injury. Week three, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Week four, you're going to get three touchdowns. And so then you just have to, did you memorize those before the season started, or would you go and rehearse the script before every game?
We really dedicated to it. So it was more so like, that's what practice was about. It was about practicing the script. Like, this is what goes on and this is what we have to do in order to,
And this referee is going to miss this call because they hate you and they love the Colts, that sort of thing.
WWF, so it's like, you know, we know what's going to happen, but you still got to put on a show.
It's a brilliant job by both, because I even started off our show on Monday saying, I don't believe the people that say the NFL is rigged. But after watching that Chiefs and Bengals game, if you wanted to call me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and say the NFL is rigged because of how many just dumb calls were made, I can't really argue it, but you know that it's not rigged. But when you watch that AFC Championship game, even though nothing really impacted the outcome, because when they had the stupid intentional grounding call, the next play, Burrow completed third and 16. If you want to say, oh, well, they missed a hold on the play where Mahomes was running, well, don't hit the guy out of bounds, and it's a 60-something yard field goal just from where Mahomes was. So you go through all those things. Yes, there was an uproar. Yes, there was disappointment from the officiating, but Hickey, it's not like you could latch on to one call out of all the bad calls that were there. It was like, oh, that's where the Chiefs were gifted a victory. If you want to tell me the block in the back on the return, fine. But then once again, don't let Mahomes march right down the field in that quick amount of time on one ankle. Like, is there one call from the AFC title game that you go, oh, this really did screw the Cincinnati Bengals where they weren't able to recover from it? Like, even when they were getting that extra down, you eventually had the Kansas City punt on that drive.
There wasn't a flag out to the missed holding call twice on the Mahomes scramble for a first down that eventually led to the push out of bounds, which eventually led to the 50-yard penalty to the Gallman field goal range. That's really all I could say. I mean, missed holding calls happen a lot, so it's not like that was just, you know, I can't believe the refs missed that egregious, but I mean, that was the one I would say, the only non-call they didn't get that was more, I think, that hurtful than any of the extra downs or the intentional grounding as well.
Okay, so let's do this right now. Hickey has compiled the list here. He's going to give me a moment in NFL history, and let's just play into this. Like, let's assume the NFL is scripted. Was this scripted or was this unscripted? Let's get to this right now. What do you got for me?
All right, let's start with Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl calling a pass. Russell Wilson, as we know, throws intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Scripted or not scripted to have the game end on an interception at the 1 yard line?
Now, this is coming from the biggest Patriot fan in the world. If the NFL was scripted, this was a scripted moment. Because here's why. You're at the 1 yard line. You have Marshawn Lynch. The obvious call, if you're trying to win the game, is give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. The fact that they threw it in some no-name and Malcolm Butler makes the interception, I think it was scripted. It's a perfect storybook ending for Tom Brady to get his fourth championship.
Perfect. So one Super Bowl takeaway from Tom Brady and the Patriots. Let's take two takeaways.
You know what? When there's a Colt moment, you better watch yourself now.
Not Brett Favre. The Falcons go 28-3. The biggest, I got ahead of myself there. I was a little excited.
Oh.
Falcons, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. We have never seen a comeback of that proportion in the biggest game in the NFL. And it happened from 28-3 to losers. Patriots do come back. Is that blowing of a 28-3 second half lead scripted or unscripted for the Falcons?
Unscripted. The Falcons are just that incompetent.
All right, so only taking one Super Bowl away, not two. I was hoping you'd say scripted.
Hi.
Dramatic comeback, Tom Brady, overtime.
Because here's the
get
thing.
Get people bought back in after kind of maybe pushing them out after a bad first half.
But if that was the case, they wouldn't have the Calvin Ridley, or excuse me, the Julio Jones great catch down the sideline. They would have gave the ball back to the Patriots just to make sure a little bit early they didn't mess up the script. And you had that play, and then you had the hold, and you just had the stupidity by Kyle Shanahan to throw the football. If they were trying to make sure that the Patriots got that game to overtime, I don't think you would have that great Julio Jones catch. I think you would have found a way to get the ball back into the Patriots' hands a little bit sooner.
To the, I guess, I don't know who I'm defending here. I guess the script writers in this instance. Do you need, I think if you're the Falcons fan, when you felt it slipping away, that Julio catch at least gave you a little bit of, okay, we're not going to blow this. So it sucked them back in after maybe it felt like the tide was turning for the Patriots.
And also, if this was scripted, you're really having the game end on James White running the football in. I love James White.
Got robbed of MVP.
No, he didn't.
Super Bowl MVP James White. Should have been.
No, he didn't.
Script writers got that one wrong.
No, you're just ridiculous. With what Brady did, Brady definitely should have got the MVP, and he did. But if that was scripted, you would have had Brady earlier on that drive, throws it to Martellus Bennett. Bennett would have caught that instead of having a pass interference. You would have had Brady with the walk-off touchdown instead of it being James White on a pitch. Go ahead.
Script writers, as we know, do love drama. That's what gets everyone to watch their shows each and every week. Speaking of drama, a lot of Brett Favre when he was still playing. Will he play or won't
still
he
now.
Play? Will he play or won't he play? Still now, even after seemingly he should be out of the script and out of the show all of itself, he still finds his way back in different instances.
Should be in a jail cell, maybe.
Also, that true as well. Maybe the script writers will update next season. We'll see. But at least when he was as a player, we had retire, unretire. Then it was, well, he played for the Packers. We know he gets traded to the Jets. Then he finds his way back into enemy territory with the Vikings. Is the Brett Favre saga, let's say the last 6-7 years of his career, because it also, you know, was, will he play or not play? Brett Favre saga, scripted or unscripted?
Scripted. Absolutely scripted. You have him go to the Jets. You have him go to the Big Apple. Then it's okay. We knew because of the whole contractual situation, but he had to go to the Jets. But that's why it opens up. You had to have a landing spot. It's a good landing spot in New York. And then you go right to Minnesota after that inside the division. Absolutely scripted. You get the revenge factor as well because he felt like he was slighted when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. It's perfect all around.
And also Rodgers falling in the draft so the Packers could get him. All those storylines. Scripted.
One of the most viral moments in NFL history. The Mark Sanchez butt fumble on Thanksgiving. Scripted or unscripted?
1,000% scripted. That will never happen again in the NFL. Where I know Vince Wilfork is pushing the lineman, but Mark Sanchez still ran into the butt of the lineman. That you can't even try to do that. Like, that to me is definitely script. You wouldn't ever run into a butt of an offensive lineman unless you were told to do so.
Speaking of being told to do so, last year the Bills back and forth insane playoff game against the Chiefs. Chiefs score. And with 13 seconds left, Sean McDermott did not script the ball. Then elected to play basically prevent defense. Was he doing so because the script told him to and allow Patrick Mahomes an insane comeback to get in field goal range in 13 seconds, win the game in overtime? Or is that just unscripted bad job by Sean McDermott?
Scripted. Every coach knows that you squib kick it in that spot. Sean McDermott's a heck of a coach. That is scripted. And also, I can't believe that a Bills defense, even with how great as Mahomes is going to, in 13 seconds, allow them to go down that field that quickly. That makes me think it's scripted.
We know one thing script writers love. Sequels. We just told about Brett Favre and his drama. Now we're running it back with another Packers quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who now for the third season in a row is having offseason drama of will he play, won't he play, where will he play. Scripted or unscripted for Aaron Rodgers' drama?
Unscripted. He's just a drama whore, Aaron Rodgers. Think of, like, what's the end goal of this script? For 2 years, you come up short in Green Bay, and then the third year you finally leave and you go to a team that you're not really going to win a Super Bowl with? Not like this great landing spot for Aaron Rodgers anywhere. So if it is scripted, the scriptwriters did a bad job. But this to me is unscripted. Rodgers just loves the attention and drama.
Peyton Manning 0-2 against Tom Brady in his career in the playoffs. Does face him in the AFC title game, Lucas Oil Stadium 2006. Down 21-3. Mounts an incredible comeback. Scores late. Colts pick off Tom Brady to seal the game and go to their first Super Bowl in Peyton Manning's Colts era. Is that Colts 2006 AFC title game comeback scripted or unscripted?
1,000% scripted. The Patriots had a 21-3 lead, and you think they're actually going to blow that? That's 1,000% scripted. They just had too much Tom Brady winning. It's a great character early on that, you know, eventually is going to have a second run on the show and is going to continue to be great, but you got to let someone else get to the top of the mountain. And that's what it was with Peyton Manning and the Colts. 1,000, you had Dan Klecko playing, getting a score in that game. It's absolutely scripted. You've never seen a championship, actually, a genuine championship in your life, Hickey. Fraudulent, scripted, screw the Colts.
How about Antonio Brown? In one ear and out the other.
Oh, yeah.
We saw
this. You want to talk about all the other ones, not that one, though.
On Hard Knocks with the Raiders, trying to get himself kicked off the Raiders.
Tried to punch Mike Mayock.
Yeah, it called him a racial slur. Did a lot of things. Froze his feet off. A lot of drama with Antonio Brown.
I forgot about that.
In that one summer with Vegas.
I forgot about the feet.
Lands with the Patriots, then eventually lands with the Buccaneers with Tom Brady a little bit later on.
Wins the Super Bowl.
Antonio Brown, all that drama, scripted or unscripted?
Unscripted. AB is just that crazy, and I don't trust that Antonio Brown would even be able to follow the script.
That's also true. Bills fans, we just gave you a little bit of torture. I'm sorry, we're going to have to do it again here. Go back a ways into the Super Bowl. You're there. Scott Norwood, chance to win the game on his foot. Wide right, Giants win the Super Bowl. Scripted or unscripted?
I think that's unscripted because of two reasons. One, you could just never trust a kicker. And two, that's really mean of the script writers. If they send them to the Super Bowl four straight times and never give them one victory. So I just think that's unscripted there.
It's very rare. We just saw with Tom Brady when star athletes leave on their own accord and leave going out on top. One of the few that were able to do it. Peyton Manning in his final season with the Broncos does win a Super Bowl. Is that final season for Peyton scripted, like a little fairy tale ending, or unscripted?
Oh, it's 1,000% scripted. Peyton couldn't even throw the ball at the end. Like, they miscalculated that Manning's arm was basically going to fall off, and then all of a sudden Cam in the Super Bowl, after only losing one game the entire year and having an MVP season, all of a sudden that offense can't do anything, and he just elects to not fall on the football or make an attempt on a football when it was a fumble? Yeah, that's scripted. So Peyton Manning should not even have two championships. Bum, loser, zero.
Let's finish with the Pittsburgh Steelers, their first Ray, Super quickly, Bowl victory.
By the way, if you can't tell, that was sarcasm, just like this entire segment with the whole Aaron Foster thing. But go ahead.
Good caveat, because there are, I bet you, some people out there that are saying, oh, this idiot, he's serious. The Steelers' first Super Bowl against the Seahawks. This was, you know, maybe one of the first conspiracies of the NFL is rigged. Some questionable officiating. Big Ben did not play well whatsoever. But the Steelers, did get a Super Bowl win. Jerome Bettisley's got his finale leaving, speaking of which, in his hometown in the city of Detroit. Was that Steelers' first Super Bowl win over the Seahawks scripted or unscripted?
I think it is scripted. Because remember, Big Ben up against the Colts just makes that crazy tackle. And you have Jerome Bettis with the fumble. Oh, my God. He's not going to be able to get a Super Bowl in his final season. Then you go to Detroit where he grew up. Right? The bus's final stop is back at home. All that stuff. It had to be scripted. And also, the officiating was that bad. I think the officials were like, oh, I don't really trust the script. Flag, 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 flag. And they had to make sure that the script was going to get executed correctly. So that, to me, is scripted. I think you had the Seahawks saying, bleep the script. And then the rest just said, oh, nope, checks and balances. Flag, 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 flag. All right, that was a little fun. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Carrington Harrison going to join us next.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about those Chiefs?
With Carrington Harrison. Does a great job. Afternoon Drive on 610 in KC. You could also catch him here on CBS Sports Radio as well. Carrington, how you been?
Zach, how you been, man? It's been a long time. You and I haven't talked in a minute, man. I'm happy you have me on today.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me take you back to last week. I know you talk to Mahomes each and every week on your Afternoon Drive show in KC, and we just didn't know what Mahomes was going to be. As the week went on, it kind of felt like maybe that there was being made too much of a big deal out of this ankle, and he was clearly banged up in the game and may have even re-injured it, but what he did was just flat out ridiculous.
I mean, I think it's the most impressive effort that we've seen from Patrick Mahomes so far. I mean, you factor in his injury, as you alluded to, he wasn't 100%. You factor in the Travis Kelce injury. I don't know if you listened to his podcast or not earlier today, but he talked about some of the challenges that he had in the game. You talk about the injuries that happened over the course of the game. So Juju Smith-Schuster out, Mecole Hardman out, Kadarius Toney out. When you factor in all of those things, I mean, basically, a practice squad player was playing in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game in Marcus Kemp, and they still found a way to win against a team in Cincinnati who had been the hottest team in the league for the final 2 months of the year. I mean, I think what Patrick Mahomes did is a thing of legends. You know, it doesn't get that cool nickname. It's not the drive or the flu game, but it's one of the most impressive individual athlete efforts that I've ever seen.
You may be more well-versed in this, but just when I think right off the top of my head, the most impressive moments in his career, definitely what happened over the weekend, a part of the conversation, that 24-0 comeback against the Texans in just the second quarter is there, the 13 seconds a year ago against the Bills to force that game into overtime, and then clearly the Super Bowl coming back against that Niners defense. How would you kind of rank those four in terms of what impresses you the most just from 1 to 4?
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I'd throw in, I don't think it's nearly as impressive, but I think it's worth part of the conversation. Against Tennessee, I mean, he made one of the great playoff runs that we've ever seen. You know, that run where he scores the touchdown and he starts to flex, at that moment I was pretty convinced that the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. I would put this at 1. I'd probably put the Super Bowl at 2. I mean, they were down 20-10 in the Super Bowl with 8 minutes to go and won by double digits. Like, when you just say that out loud, it's pretty incredible. I'd say 13 seconds against the Bills. I mean, that was just, it doesn't matter, time, situation. Like, we are going to find a way to win this football game. I can't remember the one you had fourth, but that's probably the one I would put it 4. But that's how I would rank it. I mean, this is what I've been saying this week on my show. I think that Joe Burrow is an incredible quarterback. I think that Herbert's incredible. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Like, there are a lot of great quarterbacks in the league. We got to stop comparing Patrick Mahomes to these mere mortals. Like, 5 years he's been the starting quarterback of the Chiefs. 3 Super Bowl appearances. 5 AFC Championship appearances. The 2 losses happened in overtime. 2 NFL MVPs. 2 seasons in which he's thrown for 5,000 yards. 1 season he threw 50 touchdowns back when they were playing 16 games. Like, Patrick Mahomes is on the Tiger Woods, Serena, Jordan level so far with what he's accomplished. Not Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Those guys just don't have nearly the resume of Mahomes. And again, that's no disrespect to those quarterbacks. I love Burrow. I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. Herbert doesn't have a resume at this point that we should even begin to consider anywhere close to what Patrick Mahomes is doing.
The best argument for that, you know, out of the quarterbacks that are young now was Burrow, just because he beat him 3 straight times. And if he would have beat him, let's say, a 4th time and then go get another victory and win the Super Bowl, you look at Mahomes, the 2 MVPs, you could still go that way. But it was just a head-to-head matchup where I think that was such a big conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joe Burrow is Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson is an all-time great golfer. He's not Tiger Woods, though. You know what I mean? Like, you and I played Tiger Woods PGA Tour growing up, not Phil Mickelson PGA Tour growing up. So Phil's incredible. Phil has had one of the great golf careers that we have ever seen. He was not a phenomenon the way that Tiger Woods is. So that's maybe the best comparison. There's certainly a rivalry between Kansas City and Cincinnati. There's certainly a rivalry between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. But let's not put those two in the same category, not just yet. Burrow has to do a lot more to be lumped in with Patrick Mahomes.
Carrington Harrison here with us. You know, outside of the Super Bowl, because that's just on a different level, I still think that second quarter against the Texans, where they enter, you know, they're down 24-0 early after the field goal, and there's about 10 minutes left in the quarter. They had the lead at the end of that quarter, and they ended up winning the game 51-31. That, to me, is what takes the top outside of the Super Bowl for most impressive moment.
Yeah, I'll never forget this. I was actually at that game. I was
like, that's
in,
just stupid, Carrington. That one quarter, not a whole game, one quarter.
It's crazy. So, Gil, I mean, you certainly heard people say this, that they don't believe in momentum. That momentum is not a real thing. I'm telling you, I felt it at Arrowhead that day. Like, there was a moment I remember. I can have my producer at the time call you and tell you this story. Whenever Daniel Sorensen gets that tackle when Houston runs that fake punt, Kansas City is down 24-7 when this happens. I looked at my producer and said, the Chiefs are about to win this game. You can just feel it. Like, you could just get a sense based on how Houston was playing, based on how Kansas City clearly had momentum. Hey, we're still in this. Hey, we're still in this. Arrowhead was rocking. Like, I felt momentum. The only other time I had felt that, so I was actually at the wild card game between the Chiefs and the Colts, where Andrew Luck had that big comeback, and it was almost the same identical thing. You could just feel it in the building that the Colts were about to win this game. Momentum is a real thing, man.
Talking to Carrington Harrison. So I never thought the Tyreek Hill thing was that big of a deal in the regular season, but we talk about all these comebacks. I was just wondering if there was a spot this year where, like, the Chiefs are down by 10 in the postseason, with how quickly you would go to Tyreek Hill to make up those yards to get into the end zone if that's where they would finally miss him. But I guess after this weekend, I know that they were in control early, and I don't get how you could doubt the Chiefs. Like they had no one lining up at wide receiver. They still found a way to pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Chiefs were going to finish 11-6 this year, win their division, lose in the second round of the playoffs, and we also say, hey, they had a really good year, but there are some things they need to do to get back at a championship level. It's funny because I would say from an individual talent standpoint, I still don't think the Chiefs are, like, super impressive. Like, you look at their running back room, you look at the wide receiver room, you look at the defense, like, it's not chock full of names like Philadelphia has or San Francisco has or even Cincinnati to a certain extent. Like, those teams just have better, well-known, homegrown players, so to speak. Man, the Chiefs just play really cohesive, complementary football that in the AFC Championship game, it was a little bit of everything. You know, it was the offense of Patrick Mahomes. It was the defense. Cincinnati had the ball two times with less than 10 minutes to go and got 0 points. Burrow threw an interception, and then they had to punt back to Kansas City. Special teams-wise, Harrison Butker played really well. Sky Moore had the big punt return. Like, this maybe isn't their best team that they've put together. I would say their best team was actually the team that lost to Tampa Bay. I'd put the team that beat San Francisco ahead of this team as well, but they just have a special, special quarterback. Like, I know people might get tired of hearing the praise for Patrick Mahomes. I'm telling you, somebody that has seen every single snap of Patrick Mahomes' career, he is just different, man.
Hey, it reminds me a lot, and this is coming from a Patriot fan. You look at Brady and Gronk, that was just unstoppable. You look at Mahomes and Kelsey, that's pretty much unstoppable. It's not like the Patriots, when Brady and Gronk were together, had these exceptional other complementary pieces. Like, Edelman turned out to be a really good player, but no one really viewed him as elite. Like, Danny Amendola was solid. When you have a Mahomes and a Kelsey and a Brady and a Gronk, it makes it easier to fill in all those other pieces.
Yeah, so we talked about this on my radio show today, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts. If you're ranking quarterbacks all time, how many can you definitively put ahead of Mahomes? I'm saying no argument. Everybody agrees that if you stand up in the barbershop and you say this name, nobody gets upset. I think the list is maybe 4. I would say it's Brady, Montana, Peyton Manning, and John Elway. Like, you can't tell me definitively that Dan Marino is better than Patrick Mahomes. The only thing he did better was play longer. Well, if you're telling me longevity is the only thing where Mahomes has more MVPs, more Super Bowl appearances, like, all right, I'll give Patrick Mahomes that. A lot of people on the text line earlier were arguing Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees, same case. Like, Drew Brees never won MVP. Patrick Mahomes had won it twice. He only went to the Super Bowl one time. Mahomes has been there 3 times. You can't definitively put Drew Brees over Patrick Mahomes all time. Like, we're at the point where in 5 years, I think you can argue that he's already a top 10 quarterback with the ability to keep moving up, obviously, as his career continues.
Yeah, I know older people are going to tell you unitas and things like that. It's just, it's so weird for me, Carrington, to have that conversation because it's just so young in his career. Like, what he did so far is so impressive. He could go to the Hall of Fame tomorrow if, let's say, God forbid, he suffered a career-ending injury. But I just got to see him play for 5 more years before you start to think where he ranks on that list. But you're right. Like, now we're in this society where a guy goes on to the scene and has a ridiculous 3-4-year, 5-year run. And I know what we're seeing right now just doesn't usually happen. It's okay. How do we factor him into the greatest of all time conversation?
I mean, some people we just know. I mean, you and I were alive to see Tiger Woods. I mean, you and I didn't need to see 10 years of Tiger Woods golf to understand. Yeah. Hold on. He did that at Augusta. You know what I mean? Like, nobody does that at Augusta. Like, we realized that really on with Tiger Woods that I just think there's always a certain group of people. Like, you and I didn't need to see Steph Curry shoot a basketball for 10 years to identify. Hold on. I've never seen anybody shoot a basketball the way that he does. He's the best I've ever seen do it. Like, there's always that handful of guys that are there that I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady or pass those accomplishments. 10 Super Bowls, 7 wins. Incredible. Like, Brady's a GOAT. Everybody denies. But if you're telling me just pure watching the two quarterbacks play, watching his skill set, watching his creativity, arm angles, his way to improvise, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback we have ever seen.
Now, with that being said, Brady did beat him twice in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, and again, nobody is denying Tom Brady's accolades. Like, Tom Brady is, if you want to talk about like greatest winner we've ever seen, I know people say Bill Russell. It's just a very different era of sports in general. I would put Brady ahead of Jordan. I put Brady ahead of Tiger. I mean, the Patriots did it for 20 years. Like, you think about the salary cap and just and the change and all of those kind of stuff. Like, what they did, I mean, for him to be the quarterback for 20 years and they go to the Super Bowl as many times as they did, it's just absolutely remarkable. And I'm just saying, like, pure watching the position. Like, at some point, you're going to have Baby Gelb, and you're going to show Baby Gelb the greatest quarterbacks of all time. When you show him the Patrick Mahomes highlights, you ain't got to show him 15 minutes. Show him like 2 minutes of him playing football, and he will understand how great Patrick Mahomes was.
Now, with that being said, and this is not me talking down about Mahomes. I absolutely love Mahomes, and he's wonderful. I'll never forget when he was coming out of college, they were begging radio shows to put him on at Radio Row. Now, if he showed up, he would be there for five interviews and would make all the money and wouldn't even need to do more than that. But with all that being said, when you look at Mahomes, it is surprising to me that he's not won another Super Bowl yet. Now, we know he loses to Brady. He had no offensive line in that game. Last year is the first time you could really criticize him with how it ended towards the first half, and he's ever able to regroup in the second half. Like, obviously, this is a big game. It's Super Bowl and all that. But if he wins this one, this starts to put that dynasty talk back on. And that's why I just can't wait to see how this is going to play out coming up next Sunday.
I mean, I would say that if the Chiefs win on Sunday, they are a dynasty because this is what I would argue, though. With the way that the NFL is right now, so this was a topic we had a couple of days ago, there are 10 teams in league history that have been to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Only one team has done it post-free agency and post-salary cap. You can't build a team the way the Cowboys did in the 90s. You can't build a team the way the Steelers did in the 70s, the Niners in the 80s. All respect to those dynasties. Like, think about just the Chiefs Super Bowl from 2 years ago against Tampa Bay. Like, Tyreek Hill gone. Like, Tyrann Mathieu gone. Like, free agency, player movement, those things just change. If you're telling me that the Chiefs in the modern era of football with the way salary cap and players change, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, 5 AFC championship games and 2 Super Bowls, that seems like a dynasty to me.
When we get to the health of the Chiefs, by the way, I saw that they said today that it's probably not likely that Mecole Hardman's going to play. What's the latest on Juju and Kadarius Toney when you get to the other players that got banged up last weekend?
I think there's optimism around both of those guys. I mean, this was their first practice after the AFC Championship game, so this is just all initial stuff. So the fact that they've already basically ruled out Mecole Hardman should tell you that he's seriously injured. There's optimism around Juju. There's optimism around Toney. And Sneed, their top corner, he got the concussion early on in the game. So we'll see what his status is. I don't want to not answer your question, but I mean, we're talking about the Wednesday, Thursday before a Sunday game. I don't think we'll have a clear understanding of who's going to play and not going to play until this time next week. Next Wednesday, next Thursday, we'll know if Tony's playing. We'll know if Juju's playing, if those guys are full participant in practice. It's just way too early on in the cycle.
Wrapping up with Carrington Harrison, just two more before we let you run. I think maybe the most underrated part about the Chiefs, and we know how great Chris Jones is, right? You know how great Frank Clark is. Their play with Trent McDuffie, the rookie, on the field compared to him off the field has been a big difference on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their draft class, man, I don't want to go through the Chiefs' entire draft class, but they had 7 rookies contribute in the AFC Championship game that I'm sure you talked about on your show how hard it is to win once you pay your starting quarterback, and now you got to build around it. Well, you got to build around it by drafting really well and drafting impact guys and starters, and the Chiefs have done that. Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, I mean, so many guys in that game made plays that, I mean, if the Chiefs are going to keep this run going, if they're going to win 3 of these, 4 of these, and Mahomes is going to go to 5 or 6 Super Bowls over the course of his career, they've got to continue to hit in the draft, and you got to make tough decisions. And you're a Patriots fan, you know. You can't say yes to everybody in a salary cap league. You got to say no to somebody at some times. The Chiefs said no to Tyreek Hill. They've turned that into really productive players. Chris Jones is going to ask for an extension at the end of this year. What does his contract look like? Orlando Brown's going to ask for a new deal. What does that look like? So this team has some difficult decisions. How they answer those, how they address them, and how they continue to draft will determine if they can keep going.
Last thing I'll ask you, Carrington Harrison, doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but do you agree that the Eagles are the better team?
I do think so. I mean, if we're going 1 through 53, I do think the Eagles are the best roster in the league. But this is what I think. Let's say this game is close with 8 minutes to go. Are you taking the team that has Patrick Mahomes or the team that has Jalen Hurts on their team? And I think Jalen Hurts is fantastic. Mahomes is just different in this. To me, Philadelphia wins because their offensive line just completely dominates and they run for 175 yards, which is certainly a possibility in this game. It's just something about the Chiefs. It's something about this team. It's something about Mahomes that just, it makes me really leery to bet against, especially in a coin flip game like this. I think these two teams are fairly even. You might give Philly the slight edge, 52-48. I will always take my chances with Mahomes in that scenario.
I can't wait to see, though, the athleticism matchup of Hassan Reddick going up against Mahomes, because I've been watching Hassan since we were classmates together at Temple. That is going to be one heck of a matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about this game. I was watching ESPN.
It's a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, so they did their, you know, their football predictive index, I think it is, FPI, and they had both teams with a 50% chance of winning. Like, right now, I could adamantly argue Kansas City win this game. I could adamantly argue Philadelphia winning this game. Like, you could make strong cases on both sides, which I just want to see a clean played game. I don't want the officials to be an issue on Monday where, you know, whenever you turn on TV, they're talking about the officiating. Like, these are really talented, really well-coached, great quarterbacks, two amazing fan bases. I just want to see a great Super Bowl next week.
Carrington Harrison, really do appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight.
Of course, Zach, man. I appreciate you.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station. Streams are by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Hickey. So I find this to be so comical, just the way that we cover this stuff. So I'm reading this Andrew Marchand article in the New York Post. CBS execs tried intervention to address Tony Romo's slippage in the booth. An intervention. We're talking about a guy that's a broadcaster. All right? They make this stuff out to be so dramatic. This stuff gets to be so stupid. I don't get me wrong. And I said this at the time when Romo got that deal of $20 million a year. No broadcaster, yeah, it's good for our business, but no broadcaster is actually worth $20 million a year. And I do think it's important to have good people calling the game. I wouldn't say Romo is bad, but $20 million a year is just stupid. And when you pay someone that much, every mistake is going to get critiqued compared to if you're paying the guy like $5 million a year. Because that number just sounds so stupid of $20 million a year that he makes. Like, look at Greg Olson. I have no clue what Fox is paying Greg Olson. But I guarantee you this, it ain't anywhere close. It's not even the same zip code or the town over or five towns over from what Tony Romo's making or what Aikman's making or what any of these guys that get paid ridiculous
Tom
amount of
Brady's
money are
about
making.
To make.
Yeah, like what Brady's making. And I don't know what Brady's going to be as a broadcaster. I don't know what he's going to be at all. But I do think like Romo is getting like too much heat. Like, don't get me wrong. Is he as great as what people thought he was a few years ago? Sure, he's not. But to make it seem like they need to fly there, right? You have these two different executives flying there to try to fix Tony Romo. What are we doing here? The whole thing just seems stupid. Your thoughts?
A few things. Number one, I wish we had this yesterday so we could ask Tony on the spot. Tony, what was the intervention like? What was talked about? Walk us through. Well, I will say for $17 million, $20 million, whatever he's getting a year, if I'm CBS and I feel like he's slipping, I'm doing the same thing. I'm flying out there and saying, I'm paying you this money. Let's go.
But an intervention, it's like, what do you...
You have a problem, Tony.
Well,
we gotta address it head on. We've flown everyone out here. We want you to realize that you have a problem and you need help.
I don't know if this was the Andrew Marchand is the reporter for this. I don't know if this was his word. I don't know if this is the word he got from CBS.
No, CBS denies it. They said they wouldn't categorize this as an intervention.
I was just gonna say, intervention.
To call this
strong.
An intervention is a complete mischaracterization. We meet regularly with our on-air talent. And then Marchand follows it up. Whatever one chooses to call it, the executives reviewed tapes with Romo, went to dinner, and discussed the broadcast in an attempt to return him to the form that made him a media sensation in his first 3 years on air, beginning in 2017 and culminated in what was, at the time, the largest contract in sportscasting history, a 10-year deal for a total of $180 million.
Do you buy that he's not watching the games? That's kind of in the rumor that he doesn't really watch a lot anymore. And that's why he has slipped compared to when he basically went from the field to the booth, right? So he knew everyone. He knew a lot of the coaches, the schemes, the players. So, like, you don't have to watch a lot of film if you basically know what teams are running and what kind of players. You know, he's basically a quarterback just diagnosing it. I don't know. But that's, I would say, it would make the most sense.
Like, you mean during the week?
Yes, like getting, like, preparing throughout the season, getting prepped.
I know he plays fantasy football. Him and Jim Mance have a fantasy football team together.
Do you know the record? Maybe that would also indicate.
No, I don't, but a few years ago, I was in a press box in Philly, and I went to the CBS booth to say hello to Jim, and Jim and Tony Romo, this shows you how outdated this is now, they were celebrating a Sam Darnold rushing touchdown because they picked him up in the waiver wire.
Makes you wonder, what kind of quarterbacks are you drafting when you need Sam Darnold now, rushing touchdown, to get you either late in the season into the playoffs or win a playoff game?
I guess your theory could be right. Because when we had him on yesterday and we were talking about the Texan job, he's like, I don't know if that's just his personality. But he's like, Lovie Smith was their coach last year. And then he just kept on talking. So I don't know if that was like rhetorical or not. So maybe. But I knew that Lovie Smith coached the Texans last year.
That it could be just hope. The fact that, you know, like you said, he for whatever reason spaces out and forgets even what he's talking about. So he just he'll start a sentence and then literally branch off into three different conversations with himself while the play's going on.
Also, that's another thing. And I felt that way a little bit yesterday. He is a little long-winded.
So maybe that's the intervention of more just not prep, but more style of delivery.
Less is more.
Yes. Concise.
But also, is it just the way that we operate? Like, I know that we love listening to people and hearing people for like 20-something years, and people have those great careers, but that's not usually what happens. Right? If you last like 20 years in this business, that's crazy at times. Is it just that when he came onto the scene, it was awesome, and then as more and more time happened, it just, like, the predictions were going to get old eventually. You know, I know I'm on an island here. Everyone thinks the Manning cast is the greatest thing in the world. I watch it. I go, okay, it's good. But if there's a good game, I find myself going to Buck and Aikman now because it feels like the game is not really much of the focus. So it's just certain things just fading because people have, you know, habits that just change as well.
That could be your answer. Collinsworth people like for the most part. Like, there are broadcasters of
last
year.
A lot of people hate Collinsworth.
People love and hate him, but it's not as dramatic as what we saw with Tony Romo recently.
Yeah, I would say that you just got to keep talking in circles or stop doing that as much. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.